And now it's time for the archers.
Sora couldn't wait to see her again.
Someone sounds happy.
Ah! Morning, love. Sleep well?
Great, thanks. Good to be back in my own bed.
Even if it is only for a couple of days.
There's no place like home, you know that, Dad.
Nice to hear you say it, love. And it's nice to have you back. Here, grab hold of this streamer, will you? While I get down off this chair.
I hate the day the decorations come down.
Do you?
Another year gone, another year older.
I prefer to think of it as a fresh start.
How do you mean?
Well, when you take the decorations down, the place looks bare, uncluttered, right? Almost like a new room.
Yeah?
And that's how I think of the new year. Uncluttered by last year's mistakes.
What mistakes?
Well, any mistakes. We all make them, love. Some of us more than others. Turn the radio off, will you?
Dad, I found this ring behind the bar last night. It's a garnet, I think.
Oh, yeah, it's a pretty little thing.
Do you know who it belongs to?
No idea, love. Clary, perhaps, or Betty. Give it to me, I'll ask them when they come in.
It's funny, but when I last saw Kathy, she was wearing a ring just like this.
Really?
Couldn't be hers, could it?
Right, then, we'll make a start on the tree, I think. Fairy off first.
When I was little, Mum always used to decorate the tree. Our tree, I mean, the one upstairs.
That's right.
She'd do it after I went to bed on Christmas Eve. And in the morning, she'd say the angels had done it while we were all asleep.
I don't remember that.
I try to remember everything I can about Mum. It's important to remember the past.
To remember it, yeah, but not to dwell on it.
I remember her every day.
Tinsel next.
I even speak to her sometimes.
Put the fairy in that box for us, will you, love, Tar?
Perhaps, though, if she hadn't died, then maybe you and I wouldn't have been so close.
No way of telling.
But we do get on well, don't we, Dad?
You know we do.
I've got this friend at college. She can't stand her, Dad. She hasn't spoken to him since she was 14.
Ah, she must have done.
No, that's what she says. He was always criticising her, the way she spoke, the way she dressed, the way she ate. So she woke up one morning and decided she wouldn't speak to him. And she hasn't said a word to him since.
Well, what about when she wants to ask him for something?
She gets her mum to do it for her. And she didn't go home for Christmas. She reckons she'll probably never go home for Christmas again. She couldn't stay in Hall, so she stayed in a friend's flat instead. All on her own.
Poor girl.
She said that was what she preferred. I'm glad we're not like that, Dad.
Yeah, so am I.
We've never let each other down, have we?
Not that I don't think of.
We've always been able to rely on each other. Just like we always used to be able to rely on Mum.
Yeah, that's right.
And in the end, that's what loving someone's all about, isn't it? Relying on them, and then being able to rely on you.
Yes, but it's more than just that. Loving's also about giving and taking, and about turning a blind eye from time to time. And about forgiving. And being forgiven.
According to the manual, if I press this button here, and then this button here, then it should tune itself. Doing wrong?
Well, don't look at me, darling. My fingers came off the production line long before the days of electronic gadgetry.
In my old car, I just had an off switch and a tuning knob. I could work that fine.
It does look impressive. All those buttons and flashing lights.
I just want to be able to listen to it. I haven't even begun to work out the cassette and CD decks.
Now you've got a CD player in the car, Brian will want the same.
Oh, he's welcome to this one. All I want is to be able to tune into a few radio stations. Oh, this is driving me mad.
Jenny, what on earth are you doing out here in the cold? You should be inside nursing that throat.
Oh, stop fussing, Brian. I'm trying to make sense of Debbie's car radio.
Oh, you want me to have a look?
Listen, Dad, I was thinking, if you like, I could give you a lift to Oxford tonight.
Ah, it's very kind, but I've already asked one of the students I've got helping with the lambing.
Well, actually, I wouldn't mind taking the car for a proper run. But, well, if you'd rather go with your student.
It's not a question of rather. I simply wouldn't want to trouble you. Given a choice, of course I'd rather go with you.
Then let me drive you. I'd like to, really.
Very well. Thank you.
And if you could try to decipher the instructions to this machine...
Sure. I'll just go in and get my glasses.
Thanks, Dad.
I'm a bit, Jeff.
Debbie, I think you're wonderful.
What?
Well, you're so relaxed about everything. Continuing to call Brian Dad.
He is my dad, in all but biology. And he's been very good. Mum, I'm going to see Roger again.
I thought you would. I just want you to be very careful, darling, that's all. You know, he was thrilled the night you were born. He hardly sat still for a whole week after that. He was so excited.
And after you two split up, he obviously forgot I existed.
You sound bitter.
There was a time when every night before I fell asleep, I'd say a prayer. Please, God, in the morning, may there be a letter from my daddy.
You never told me.
Of course not.
Oh, you should have said something.
What good would it have done?
So now you must be feeling as if your prayers have been answered.
I've grown up since then.
If you feel so bitter, I'm surprised you want to see him.
Oh, I said some stupid things before, didn't I? About needing to know why he left me and that. But now I'm just curious, I suppose. I'd like to get to know him. And if he's got business in the area and wants to get to know me, well...
Business? What business?
Well, books, you know.
But I thought he still had the shop in London.
Oh, I don't know the details, Mum. All I know is he keeps making business trips around here and further west into Wales.
Perhaps it's just an excuse to see you.
He doesn't need an excuse.
Perhaps he thinks he does.
Yeah, maybe. I'm beginning to quite like him, you know.
Oh. So, when are you seeing him again?
It looks so bare in here without the decorations.
I like it.
Actually, so do I. It looks clean and simple. A clean canvas for the start to another year.
That's what I was telling Lucy this morning. She prefers decorations.
Oh.
I think that's what she was saying.
Mind you, you could do with some flowers in here or something.
Yes, I suppose. Ah, it's the new ladies.
Afternoon, Sid. Are we too late for lunch?
I'm sure we can rustle up something for you two. What do you say, Debbie?
There's some shepherd's pie left and soup. It's mushroom today.
Oh, soup for me, please. And for me.
Coming up.
And to drink?
Oh, I need warming up. Ginger wine, please.
Ooh, good idea. I'll have the same.
Right, well, if you go and sit down, I'll ask Claire to bring them over to you. There's a couple of seats by the fire, look.
Oh, you're an angel, Sid.
That's what they all say.
Oh, you know, Shula, I always think one of the nicest things about riding in the winter is
yes, when you stop.
Oh, I know. Oh, look at that fire. Doesn't it make you want to take off your shoes and socks and toast your toes?
Frankly, no. If you'd seen the state of my chilblains.
You ought to get together with Kenton. He reckons he's a world authority on chilblains.
Really?
Oh, yes. Chilblains, period furniture, antique silver spoons.
Do you think he's got a hangover today?
Is the Pope a Catholic?
He certainly put away a skinful yesterday evening. Him and Nelson both. Mm.
God bless this antique shop and all who drink in her.
Oh, well, yes. That is the florist. Oh, good. I'd like to order a bouquet, please. Something simple but tasteful. Yep. Yeah, that sounds nice. The message is, with all my love, Sid. Yeah. And they're to go to Mrs. Kathy Perks, Grey Gables Health Club.
Oh, Alice, isn't that a lovely picture? All those lovely colours. Now, why don't you draw another lovely picture while Mummy makes a little phone call? There's a good girl.
Oh, sorry, Mum. I don't mean to interrupt, but you know that jacket, the one you bought that time when we went shopping?
Yes.
Can I borrow it?
I knew all along you only wanted me to buy it so you could share it too.
Well, I wouldn't ask, only I haven't got anything that'll go nearly so well with my black skirt.
Of course you can borrow it. Oh, great. Are you going to go to Brian's dinner with him?
At the farming conference? I can't imagine anything more dreary. No, I'm going to visit a girl I was at school with. She's studying at Oxford.
Oh, anyone I know?
I don't think so. Oh, we'll go out for a spaghetti. She's taking her finals this year, so she's gone back up to college early.
Do I detect a note of wistfulness?
Wistfulness?
You could be taking your finals this year if you'd stayed at Exeter.
Believe me, Mum, there may be some things I feel regretful over or wistful about, but finals are not numbered among them. Thanks for loaning the jacket.
Oh, Lord, Alice, I didn't say the wrong thing, did I? I don't know, you young girls, you can be so touchy sometimes. Anyway, perhaps I'll be lucky this time with the phone call. Hello? Hello, Roger. It's me, Jennifer. Oh, I'm fine, thanks. Look, I can't talk for long. We've just got to meet. Well, there are things we must talk about. Well, our daughter. We've got to talk about our daughter. No, 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 there's nothing wrong. Look, Debbie said you were coming to Felpersham. Yeah, later this week. Oh, yes, yes, Wednesday'd be fine. Yeah. 2 o'clock outside the cathedral. I'll see you then.
Darling?
Oh, I've got to go. Bye.
Debbie and I'll be off then. See you later.
Good. Yes, well, have a lovely evening.
I'll do my best.
And don't drink too much tonic water.
I'll try not to.
Bye, darling.
Bye. Who was that on the telephone?
Telephone? Oh, no, no, it wasn't for anybody. It was the wrong number, that's all. Just the wrong number.
The flowers were beautiful. Just red and white ones. They were absolutely lovely.
Glad you liked them.
When the van drew up, I thought they must be for one of the guests. I can't remember when I last had flowers delivered.
Here, let me climb over the gate first, and then I'll help you over.
I can manage.
Give me your hand.
I can manage.
Please.
Oh, here.
Sit down. Oh, careful. And there you go.
You look happy.
Perhaps that's because I feel happy.
Me too.
You still on for dinner tonight?
You bet. I'll pick you up about 7. How's that?
Inside the pub or outside?
Oh, well, it's up to you.
In.
What about Lucy?
She's visiting a friend in Borchester this evening. Don't worry about her. Kathy, does this mean we're officially back together?
Well, I don't go around kissing everyone who helps me climb a gate.
I mean, if we're back together, if we're still married, what's stopping you moving back home?
But, Sid, I hardly know you.
You're serious, Kathy.
Yes, so am I.
Kathy.
No, don't rush me, please.
Oi! Oh. Oi, you two, you're trespassing.
What does he mean, us?
He wants a word with you.
Morning, Joe, what can we do for you?
Oh, you...
Is there a problem?
You're on my land. This ain't no right away.
Well, we kept to the bank. We haven't done any damage.
Well, I didn't know it was you. We thought it was a couple of townies. Not that it makes no difference. Trespassing is trespassing. Trespassers will be prosecuted.
Hey, what's that on the other side of the bridge?
What?
Over there.
Well, we can't see none.
Oh, yes.
There you are. One glass of essence of stale melon pips. Don't know how you can drink that stuff.
I like it.
And a glass of mineral water for me. We're hardly going to make Nelson's fortune.
I know.
Oh, Shane says our food could be sometime coming. He's only got one pair of hands, you know.
It's so difficult to find time to talk in the office.
Yeah, we're not doing too badly for a couple of beginners.
Where is Nelson, anyway?
Shane says he's at the junk shop.
You really shouldn't, Mark.
No, his words, not mine.
This place always seems slightly duller when Nelson's not behind the bar.
Oh, don't let Shane hear you saying that. As far as he's concerned, Nelson's nothing but a nasty capitalist who creams the profit from the sweat of Shane's brow.
Has he really said all that to you?
Well, no, he's more the still waters run deep sort.
There's more drama in one lunchtime here than I've ever encountered in a whole year in London.
Oh, yes, we live life on the edge in Borsetshire. I should have warned you at the interview.
I think I'm getting the hang of things. For example, I was sitting here looking out of the window while you were up at the bar, and I saw, what's her name? Married to that rich farmer in Ambridge.
Jennifer Aldridge.
That's the one. I saw her coming out of the hairdresser over there, looking extremely glamorous, and I actually found myself wondering, what's she getting all dressed up for?
Excellent.
You're impressed, I can tell.
We'll make a village gossip of you yet.
So, shall we get down to work?
Oh, yeah, I suppose we'd better. Your turn for the agenda.
Right. Quick updates on our workload to start with.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. There's the conveyancing on that house in Lower Loxley. No problems there. Right. Then there's the divorce I'm handling for that woman in Loxley Barrett. That could be a messy one.
They often are. I hate divorces.
We can't afford to turn them away.
Ah, quite.
Then there's the canning factory.
Ah, yeah. The canning factory. Look, do me a favour on this one, Usha. Watch where you tread.
Why?
Well, I did some work for Sir Sidney before, and he's not a bad bloke. He means well.
We're talking about sex discrimination. It's against the law.
Yes, but we don't want to lose potential business clients. Sir Sidney's a big fish round here.
Look, I know that.
He practically runs the round table, and he was president of the golf club last year. Don't look at me like that, Wuxia. We've got to keep an eye on the future. Now, all I'm saying is, be aware who you're dealing with.
I don't know what sheep you're talking about, Joe.
That dead sheep down by the river, the one you thought I'd dumped.
I never said I thought you'd dumped it.
Ah, no, but that was what you were thinking.
I didn't think anything of the
sort.
Well,
I can prove it's nothing to do with me.
Oh, no one suggested it was anything to do with you.
In the first place, in case you didn't notice, it was upstream of my land. So unless dead sheep learned how to swim against the current, then it couldn't be nothing to do with me.
Joe, that sheep is none of my business. I'm only grateful it wasn't on Mr. Woolley's land like the one that was dumped last week.
And in the second place, Joe Grundy, he may be getting on a bit, but he has lost his marbles completely. Let me tell you, if I dumped a dead ewe, not that I have, but if I had, I'd cut its tag off first. And that ewe still had its tag on, and it wasn't one of mine.
Oh,
so you can tell David Archer that before he goes running to the police telling tales on me again, it ain't mine. Not mine, no.
Oh, dear.
Right then, I'm ready. How do I look?
Oh, wonderful. Let's go.
You recognise the shirt, of course. You gave it to me on our first Christmas.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Right then. Let's be on our way.
It's very nice here.
Yes, it is.
Much cosier than that snack bar. Why don't I go and grab that table?
Yeah, good idea.
Here, you're a lawyer, aren't you?
Yes.
I don't mean you, I mean her. She's interested in ordinary folk. Like Gary was talking to Susan Carter, who was talking to their Sharon. She ain't stuck up like the rest of you, Johnny.
Hey, hang on a minute, Joe.
What can I do for you, Mr...
Grundy. Joe Grundy.
Mr. Grundy, of course. I've heard of you. We'll go and sit down, Mark. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'll bring the drinks over.
You would only laugh, seeing as you're offering.
So why do you want to talk to me, Mr. Grundy?
Because I need representation, of course, in court next week. I'm being prosecuted, or should I say persecuted? The common man, you see. He always loses out in the end.
Would this be about your sheep?
How do you know about that?
I try to keep my ears open. It's something you learn in law school.
So, do you want the case or don't you?
Quite frankly...
My money's the same colour as everybody else's.
You're going to plead not guilty?
Oh, down the years, we Grundys have always been persecuted.
But from what I've heard, you didn't actually dip your sheep.
You've been talking to them archers.
Actually, it was Sharon who told me, I think.
I showered them. He says as how showering's more hygienic than bathing.
But you're supposed to dip them.
Well, you're going to go by the letter of the law.
If I were you, Mr. Grundy, I'd plead guilty.
Sorry I'm late, Robin.
Not to worry. One pint of orange at your service.
Oh, tar. Brenda wanted out with her maths.
You mean to say you could understand it?
I think so. Well, we don't know whether we got it right, of course. Anyway, thanks for the drink.
My pleasure. Cheers.
Cheers.
I've been thinking about you and your fire.
Sooner after you left, the beggar went out on me, didn't it?
It'd be a mistake if you kept blaming yourself for everything that's happened to you.
Well, ain't no one else to blame, is there?
I'm not suggesting you should absolve yourself from all responsibility. But farming is a business. And in recent years, a lot of small businesses have gone to the wall through no fault of their owners.
Listen, I've been there. Tell me about it.
What I'm saying is, a lot of your misfortunes have been outside your control.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And a little bit of healthy anger might be every bit as appropriate as all the blame you're heaping on your shoulders.
So, what did Joe Grundy want?
He wanted me to defend him against the might of the law.
Not those blessed sheep he should have dipped.
Right, first time.
The man's off his trolley. Everyone knows he used a watering can.
He says showering's more hygienic than bathing.
What did you say?
I said I'd be pleased to represent him.
Oh, Usha. What's so funny?
I wish you could see your face.
Oh, that was a wonderful meal, Sid. Thank you.
Glad you enjoyed it.
And the next treat's on me.
Thought you were looking very lovely tonight.
It's the candlelight. It does wonders with wrinkles.
No! I mean it.
Thank you.
Look up there. Lucy's just put a light out.
tell her we were going out tonight?
I didn't get a chance.
Oh, Sid. It's been arranged since the weekend.
All right. I didn't want to tell her. Don't think my private life's any of her business.
You were too scared, you mean.
No. Don't mean that. I mean that I'm a grown man, and who else sees my own affair? Come here. Give another kiss.
Oh, that's nice. I've been missing out on them.
Me too.
Anyway, I thought you looked very lovely in the candlelight as well.
Now that's the sort of flasher I could get used to. Oh, how about another kiss for luck? What you doing?
I've turned the engine off.
Yeah, but the heater will stop working.
Doesn't matter.
We'll freeze.
Not if you ask me in for coffee, we won't. I thought it was traditional after a date.
Kathy, would you like to come in for coffee?
Oh, I'd be delighted. And Sid.
Yeah?
You can have that kiss upstairs.
Dad? Dad, it's gone 8:30. You've slept in.
Oh, my giddy aunt, it's Lucy. Thank you, love. Here, tuck the duvet around you. Or maybe you should go underneath.
Make yourself decent, Dad.
Oh, no.
Well, can't you send her away?
She always says that when she's made me a cup of tea.
Coming in ready or not? I brought you a cup of...
Ah, good morning, Lucy.
You.
You've met the wife, of course.
How are you? I like your sweatshirt. A Christmas present, was it?
What's she doing here? Well, I knew you were seeing her again. I could tell from the way you've been behaving so secretively.
I haven't been secretive.
How could you? After everything she's done to you.
It's a new year, Lucy, love. A new page.
But it's still the same book. She betrayed you, Dad. She betrayed you with another man.
Look, why don't I get dressed and go? I've got to be at work in an hour anyway.
Yeah, well, you'll have some breakfast before you leave.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I think so. And you can start with that cup of tea Lucy's been kind enough to make.
But I made it for you.
And now I'm giving it to Kathy. Could you put it on a bedside table, please? Lucy?
No. I made it for you.
And now I want you to give it to Kathy.
No, I won't. I won't!
Oh. I think perhaps I better go.
I'm sorry, Kathy.
Oh, you're not to blame. I shouldn't have stayed the night.
Oh, but I wanted you to, and I'm glad you did.
Oh, we shouldn't have slept through the alarm.
We, didn't sleep through it.
Hmm?
I turned it off at about 6:00 this morning. Oh. You looked so peaceful lying there in your sleep, and I felt so happy to be here beside you, holding you, like the old days. I didn't want to have the spell broken by the jangling of an alarm clock.
So instead it was broken by Lucy.
Didn't know she was going to bring me a cup of tea in bed.
Oh, I'm sorry to have caused you trouble.
Now, that's enough of that.
Shame she took the tea away, though. I just fancy a cup.
Oh, me too. Did you see the look on her face when she caught sight of you? It was like something out of an old black and white film.
or a Victorian melodrama. Or a French farce. Ooh la la.
No, we didn't ought to laugh. No, we didn't ought to be laughing. Dear, we shouldn't. We shouldn't be laughing. This is serious. Look, she's going back to university today.
But that is something faintly ridiculous. I mean, you must agree. I mean, face it, Sid. You've just been caught in bed with your...
With my wife. I've just been caught in bed with my wife.
Why did you suggest we meet here, Roger?
I always loved Felpershire Cathedral.
I've hardly set foot inside the door since you and I split up.
Everyone should make time for reflection. If we don't try to understand our past, how can we possibly hope to understand the present, or even begin to make plans for the future?
It's all very well, Roger, but I didn't come here today to discuss metaphysics.
It's not metaphysics. It's common sense.
I want to talk to you. I want to know why you've come back.
I haven't come back. I still live in London.
You know what I mean. I haven't seen you in goodness knows how many years. I haven't even heard of you. You could have been dead for all I knew, and then suddenly, without any warning, you walked back into my life.
I'm sorry if I caused you any disruption.
Disruption? That's putting it mildly.
But with all due respect, it's Debbie I wanted to see.
And now you've seen her. So why not leave her alone for another 20 years?
I wanted to see her and get to know her.
And give her expensive presents?
I'm not trying to buy her love, if that's what you're thinking.
I'd be pleased to hear it, because believe me, her love's worth more than a J-registered GTI.
This little side chapel has always been my favourite. It's so plain, so unpretentious, so unassuming in the midst of all this grandeur and scale.
Roger!
I've brought you a present. Here.
Present? Why?
That was your birthday yesterday.
You remembered after all these years.
Of course. Why not? Take it. Please. For you. With my love. Well, aren't you going to open it?
Yes. Yes, of course. Perfume.
I didn't know whether you still wore the same one.
Yes, yes, I do.
I hoped you might. Look, I have an idea. When we've walked all around and admired all the stained glass and side chapels, let's go and have tea and cakes at the Cathedral Cafe.
I ought to be getting back.
Please, Jennifer. Please. Have tea with me.
Come on, Lucy. You'll miss the train.
Sorry. I wanted to get the paper. Dad, why did she have to come with us?
Lucy, you know the van's still being mended.
You could have borrowed her car. She didn't actually need to drive us here.
Her name's Kathy, Lucy. Not she. Kathy.
We could have got a taxi.
It's very kind of Kathy to drive us here.
I'd have gladly paid.
Really, Lucy? Don't you think you're too old for this sort of childish behaviour?
She's turning you against me.
Don't be stupid.
It's true. You never usually get angry with me.
You never usually behave so childishly.
It's not childish to expect people to behave honourably.
But it is childish to refuse to forgive. It's not even as if you've got anything to forgive. Kathy may have hurt me, she may have hurt herself, but she didn't hurt you. All we want to do is put it all behind us.
You can't trust her.
Well, that's for me to judge.
I've got to go.
Please try and be happy for me, Lucy.
I can't. All I can feel is sorry for you. Please don't hang around. I hate to hear for farewell.
You will phone me when you get there.
See you, Dad.
You'll give me a ring, won't you?
Take care of yourself. Don't wait.
Are you all right, love?
I thought you were waiting in the car.
I thought you might need some moral support. Was it difficult?
Well, it's always hard saying goodbye.
Oh, if I'd known, I'd have driven back to Grey Gables last night.
I'm very pleased you didn't. If we're back together, it's just as well Lucy knows.
Yes, well, it's a shame she had to find out quite the way she did, though.
Maybe. But at least now you'll be able to answer the phone at the book without worrying that it's going to be Lucy at the other end, eh?
There is that, I suppose.
I mean, you can't skulk in corners just to human Lucy. The Bull's your home, too.
It was my home, Sid.
But I thought, after last night...
Yes, what?
I thought things had changed.
Oh, last night was lovely, but it doesn't change
everything. You mean you're not moving
back? No, I'm not moving back.
Why not?
Because when I do, if I do, I want us both to be certain that it's absolutely the right thing.
But I am certain.
Why not? Not yet. Oh, we've been through so much, Sid. Can't we just enjoy things the way they are for a bit longer?
Jane Hall, I've got with me. And this one's Alice's christening.
Well, haven't you got any of her growing up?
Debbie, of course, at home in the album.
I'd like to see them.
Why?
Well, I'd have thought it was obvious.
Maybe it is. I'd like you to tell me all the same. Why would you like to see pictures of Debbie growing up, Roger?
Because I'd like to see what I missed.
I'll tell you what you missed, shall I? You missed measles and mumps and chickenpox, countless colds, the occasional attack of flu.
Jennifer.
You missed fights over boyfriends and parties and staying out late and...
You can't blame me Any more than I blame myself.
You missed her sobbing her heart out because girls at school had sent her to Coventry, and you missed her sobbing her heart out over boys who didn't love her, and you missed her sobbing her heart out over boys who did love her, and you...
I'd like to make up for all the years I've lost.
Now she's safely grown up. Now she's no longer acnid and adolescent and difficult.
It's not like that. I want to get to know her. I am her father.
An accident in biology doesn't make you a father, Roger. You have to earn the title. And the only way to earn it's by being around. You think it's easy bringing up a child? Let me tell you, it isn't.
I know, but...
All the ways that matter, Brian's been Debbie's father, not you.
Yes, I know that,
She calls you Roger. She calls him Dad.
I want to get to know her, Jennifer. I haven't got any other children. She's the only one. Please, let me continue to see her.
She's a grown woman. I can hardly forbid it.
But you could make it difficult.
I want to protect Brian. He's always thought of Debbie as his own, and he's always treated her as his own.
I appreciate that.
Oh, you appreciate it? Well, that's very big of you. But he didn't do it for you. He did it for Debbie. He did it for Debbie because her own father, her own natural father, seemed to have forgotten her very existence.
You've been angry with me all this time.
Yes, I have. Not for myself, but for my daughter. It was hard for her, thinking you'd forgotten her.
I don't forget. You know that.
Well, Debbie didn't.
Look, I didn't forget your perfume, and I haven't forgotten how much you used to enjoy Eccles cakes.
Haven't had an Eccles cake in years.
I've ordered one for you. They'll bring it when we finish the sandwiches.
Eccles cake? Oh, Roger, you're amazing.
I don't want to upset anyone, Jennifer. Please, believe me. I only want to get to know my daughter. Our daughter.
Here we are, then.
Thanks for the lift, David.
Sorry I had to leave the conference early.
I didn't mind.
I really couldn't have inflicted my sneezing and coughing on anyone any longer.
We didn't miss much.
No.
What are you going to do now? Tuck yourself up in bed with a glass of hot toddy?
Oh, that sounds extremely attractive.
Whereas I have got a day's work to catch up on.
Oh, surely not.
I've got to check up on that ewe, make sure it's been properly buried.
You reckon it was dumped by one of the students who got in for the lambing?
For sure. No. Yeah, I phoned at lunchtime and the culprit turned up immediately.
Well, I hope he doesn't dump any more corpses in a hurry.
Absolutely.
It used to be so easy in the old days, phoning up the knacker and him actually giving you money so he could take the carcass away.
Well, we can't blame the knackers. Since BSE, their trades dropped through the floor.
Oh, no.
I've been wondering today, though, whether I should look into incineration.
Well, it'd be pricey.
Yes, but I could provide the facilities to the whole area. At a fee, of course.
Do you think it'd pay?
I don't know. I've got time, I might price it out.
Yep.
Well, thanks again for the lift.
Okay.
That can't be Jenny. See you, David.
Yep, see you, right.
Jenny, I didn't know you were going out today.
Didn't I mention it?
Where have you been?
Culversham. I stopped at the supermarket on the way home. Give me a hand with the bags, will you?
What were you doing in Culversham?
Oh, you know, this and that. Window shopping, mostly. Some lovely stuff in the sales, but I'd forgotten my checkbook.
You spent the day on your own?
Oh, no, not on my own. I went with Jill.
I still can't believe that you didn't have the milk ready in time for the tanker yesterday.
It wasn't my fault. Why don't you go home and make some breakfast?
Calling out the fitter over something so straightforward.
David, one of the vacuum pumps broke down. I didn't know how to mend it. I had to do something.
It's such a simple job.
Not to me. Come on, old girl, shift over. That's it.
Dad or I could have gone and bought the part and mended it in half the time.
You were in Oxford and your father's still convalescent.
Well, how about Bert? Didn't you ask him to help?
No.
Why not?
David, the machinery was broken. I've got it fixed. End of story. I know your call's making you feel rotten, but please don't take it out on me.
But the tanker had a call back later in the afternoon, and this has got nothing to do with my cold.
Well, actually, I was pretty pleased I managed to cope with the cows and get the pump mended.
We're going to get charged for the tanker having to come back?
Not a lot.
Probably about 70 quid.
Like I said, not a lot.
Honestly, Ruth. Why didn't you ask Bert to give you a hand?
Bert doesn't start till 8. The pump went at 7:30, just after you'd gone. My only concern was to get it sorted as quickly as possible so I could finish the milk.
But it took nearly 2 hours.
I did what I thought was best. What's all this about, David? Are you feeling guilty for going off to the conference or something?
Guilty?
Why else are you haranguing me over something so trivial?
It's not trivial.
The machine broke down, I got the machine mended. The cows got milk, the milk got taken off in the tank.
I don't feel guilty.
Oh, I can't think of any other explanation for your behaviour.
Look, I can't stand inefficiency. Inefficiency and unnecessary expenditure.
You belong in a Dickens novel, you do. Look after the pennies.
All businesses have to minimise their costs.
You're overreacting.
We all have to pull our weight, you know.
And you don't think I am pulling me weight?
I just wish that you'd stopped and thought a bit longer. You could have got hold of Bert and sent him for the part. He could have mended the pump within the hour. The milk would have been ready for the tanker.
I don't believe I'm hearing this.
And the farm would have saved, both on the fitter's bill and on the penalty for the tanker having to return.
Stop treating me like the cowman.
Well, you are the cowman! For all intents and purposes.
Well, David, if I'm the cowman, perhaps it's about time you started paying me a cowman's wages, which is about three times as much as I'm getting now.
Come on, love. Finish your coffee and we'll do some more exercises. You know it makes sense.
Oh, can't I have one more cup, please?
One. And then it's bend and stretch time.
I think you enjoy watching me suffer.
Actually, I don't enjoy watching you suffer. That's why I want you to get on with your exercises.
Mm. Elizabeth not coming in for coffee?
She's not at home today.
Oh, where is she? Out on her job?
I don't know.
Oh. Perhaps she was up early.
Perhaps. She went out with Cameron last night.
No. Try as I might, Jill, I really can't like that man.
I know what you mean.
I think I even preferred Nigel Pardew to...
I've always had a soft spot for Nigel.
Oh, only because he flatters you.
Well, a little bit of flattery never did anyone any harm. Now finish up that coffee and let's do some bend and stretch.
Hello, can I come in?
Of course, Jennifer.
My saviour.
What's that?
You've let him off the hook again. He was going to do his exercises. Oh.
I think I can hear the call of the newspaper in the living room. Stay as long as you like, Jennifer. And thanks.
He's looking much brighter, Jill.
Yes, I think he is. Would you like some coffee?
No, I've just had some, thanks. Mum asked me to drop this garden catalogue round for you.
Oh, lovely, thank you.
And I've come to ask you a favour.
Yes?
It's hard. I don't know quite how to put it.
I find it's usually best to go straight to the point.
Yes, well, the thing is, I don't know why I did it, but I'm afraid that I told Brian I went shopping yesterday afternoon in Felbersham, with you.
Oh.
I surprised myself. I didn't plan to, but once the words were out, I'm sorry. But I wonder if... Well, if he asks... Well, not that he will, but if he does, do you think you could back me up?
But what were you doing yesterday afternoon?
I was in Felbersham, but, with Roger.
Roger?
Roger. You know, my Roger.
Travers Macy?
Yes. Oh, there was nothing in it. Not between us. He started seeing Debbie, and I wanted to talk to him about Debbie, and I didn't think Brian would understand.
Jennifer!
Well, I know it's stupid to lie, but I only wanted to protect Brian. Since his accident, shocks aren't good for him, and I honestly only wanted to protect Brian. Anyway, I must get on. I really am going to go and do some shopping now. I thought I'd look round the sales in Borchester.
Jennifer, do be careful.
Don't know what you mean.
Roger's been tucked away in the past for years. Don't let him back into the present.
We were talking about Debbie, that's all.
Old marriages are best left slumbering.
I know, Jill. I know.
I think you should tell Brian the truth.
That I was with Roger?
Yes.
You must be mad.
You mustn't have secrets.
Oh, pigs.
I beg your pardon?
Oh. Actually, I was just leaving. Shopping, you know. Bye.
Bye, Jennifer.
Bye.
Oh, don't worry, I can let myself out. Bye, Phil.
Oh, yes, bye. Was it something I said?
Well, coming into a room and saying pigs isn't everyone's idea of a brilliant conversation opener. Anyway, I thought you were going to read the newspaper.
I was talking about Frida's last litter. I was thinking this morning while I was shaving, I might keep one of them.
What a good idea.
You think so?
Certainly. Frida's always been a bit of a tourist attraction for my guests.
Oh, call me a sentimental old fool if you like, but I'm not looking forward to saying goodbye to the old girl. Having one of her daughters on the farm, well, it almost be as if she's still with us.
Very fetching.
I've been looking for a new silk blouse for ages. Wasn't in the sale, unfortunately, but it is lovely.
That vivid scarlet.
Do you think it's too much?
No, I think it's splendid.
Yes, it caught my eye.
Another drink, perhaps, to celebrate your purchases.
Oh, lovely. Just a small glass this time.
The choice, dear lady, is yours.
And I bought a new pair of boots. They were in a sale. Quite reasonable, actually.
Very attractive.
And a new bag to go with them, of course.
Well, of course.
And I couldn't resist this red Macintosh.
But that looks like a genuine...
Yes, 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 it is. It was reduced. Less than 200.
A bargain, then?
Yes, it was a bargain.
That'll be 160 for the wine.
Oh, yes, yes, sorry, and a drink for yourself.
So many thanks, I'll have a mineral water. And what's in that bag there?
Underwear.
I won't ask to have a look.
Underwear is perfectly respectable, Nelson. We all have to wear it.
And what are all these purchases in aid of?
Sorry?
Well, in my experience, limited though it is, when a woman spends this much money on herself, she tends to be either celebrating or compensating.
How very sexist of you.
Observation, nothing more.
I've been neither celebrating nor compensating. I've been shopping.
Oh, no offence was intended. Your change.
Makes sense to take advantage of the sales.
As a lowly tradesman, Jennifer, I can only applaud your sentiments.
You don't think the red blouse is too much, dear?
Not at all.
Good. Oh, by the way, I popped into your new shop on the way here. Hope you don't mind me saying so, Nelson, but it looked a bit bare.
Kenton and I are aiming at the top end of the market, at the discriminating customer, people like yourself.
But there was practically nothing in there to discriminate between.
Ah, well, there are three reasons for that. Firstly, we're intending to specialise in the export market, particularly to Japan. There'd be no point in displaying an enormous amount of stock when our business will be conducted by mail and facsimile. Secondly, we are intending to work to order. So, for example, if you came in and said you were looking for a late 17th century writing desk, we would use our best endeavours to find you the finest example in the country.
And the third reason for there being so little stock?
The third reason, Jennifer, is because my esteemed colleague has yet to develop a foolproof eye in the sale. Where quality is concerned, he is usually pipped at the post by more experienced dealers. But he's learning. He's learning fast. I have high hopes of him.
You're joking. You are joking, aren't you? Mum, tell me he's joking.
He's not joking, David.
But he's got to be.
Well, I don't see why.
That middle white sow's been nothing but a joke from start to finish.
I've always liked her.
She's a pig. You don't like or dislike farm animals. There are means of making a living. They are units of production.
Well, I've decided. I'm going to keep two of her litter.
Two? But you just said one just now.
No, I think two would be better.
It's an indulgence. It's nothing but an indulgence.
I think it's a good idea.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Oh,
you're as mad as he is.
David.
And I've decided what I'm going to call them as well.
Call them? You're going to give them names?
Of course. Millie and Molly.
Millie and Molly.
They're very nice names, dear.
Oh, thank you, Jill.
I like them too.
Well, while you're at it, why don't you sit down and dream up names for all the sheep up on Lakey Hill? All the cows in the barn?
I think I'll get on with the vegetables.
Oh, yes, there's another thing. Mum's cabbages out in the garden. They could have names too.
That's enough, David.
Oh, apples in the orchard and Tony's leeks. You could give them names.
I said that's enough. A joke's a joke.
I agree. A joke is a joke.
Perhaps you'd like to come in the kitchen and open the wine, Phil?
Oh, yes. All right. Yeah, good idea.
Oh, thanks, Ruth. I know you're still cross with me about this morning, but I do think you could have backed me up.
I don't know what you're getting so head up about. Your dad's allowed a hobby just like anyone else.
Farmers don't have time for hobbies.
I don't see why not, especially when it makes a profit.
If he wants a hobby, why doesn't he take up stamp collecting or brass rubbing? Something sensible.
I think you should apologise to him.
Apologise? Why?
You were rude.
I was saying what I thought.
Sometimes it's better to keep what you think to yourself. He's getting on your dad. Where's the harm in him keeping a couple of pigs?
A couple of obsolete pigs. Just when I thought we were finally rid of Frieda.
I think I'll go and see if your mum could do with a hand with a supper.
She's okay.
I can peel a few potatoes for her, perhaps.
She's fine. Stay here with me. Have another glass of sherry.
No, thanks.
Have some Coke, then, or some lemonade.
I don't want anything more to drink, thank you. I'll wait till the wine at supper.
You're still cross with me about this morning.
Am I?
I thought we'd sorted all that out at lunchtime. We've got to be able to separate our marriage from the farm.
It's not that easy, David. It might be for you, but not for me. My mind doesn't divide itself up into convenient little compartments that way.
Oh, Ruth.
I'm going to see if I can help your mum.
Ruth! Oh, for goodness sake.
You're looking cheerful this morning.
Am I? Well, yeah, I suppose I'm feeling more cheerful these days. That'll be 5.50 then, Sid.
There you are.
So?
Things better at home?
Oh, no comparison. Well, don't get me wrong, Mike's still no angel, but at least these days he's behaving more like a human being.
Very pleased to hear it.
What about you?
I, Betty, have never felt better.
Oh, so all these rumours I'm hearing must be true.
Well, it depends what you've been hearing.
That you and Kathy are back together again.
We're seeing each other, Betty.
Seeing each other?
Well, you know.
No, that's wonderful, Sid. And how's Lucy settling back in at college?
You tell me. I haven't heard a dicky bird since you went back.
Morning, Betty.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Sid.
Zoldish, Debbie.
Hi. We're looking for birthday cards, Betty.
Over there.
I want one with a badge saying I am 40.
It's Pat's birthday.
Oh, heavens, today. I completely forgot.
Pat Archer's 40 years old. That must make me ancient.
I'll buy a card myself later and drop it in at lunchtime.
Look at this one. Life begins at 40, and inside it says, some people swallow anything. Don't think I'm without a sense of humour, but not only is this one not funny, it's almost offensive.
Doesn't matter how many miles you get on the clock, Mrs. Aldridge. What counts is how you feel.
Precisely.
Well, I feel terrible. I think I'm getting your cold, Mum. Oh, this one will do. How about this one for you? Yeah, that's fine.
Morning. Morning, Kathy. Oh, that'll be 2.25, Mrs. Aldridge.
Morning, Kathy.
2.25.
Hello.
You were still on to the pictures tonight?
Put up the price.
Oh, yes. I've been looking forward to it.
Good. I'll pick you up about 7, shall I?
Oh, your van's mended then?
Yeah.
Oh, Sid, I'm ever so sorry, but I won't be able to work for you after all tonight. I'm spending the afternoon and evening with my father.
Oh, right.
I hope it doesn't mess you about too much.
No, no, don't worry about it.
Come on, Debbie, we must get a move on.
Yeah. Bye then.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Oh, well, I have to go to the pictures another night, Kathy. I'm sorry, but Clary can't work the bar alone.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, I can work for you this evening, if it'd be a help.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
thanks, Betty.
That is kind.
I love coming across here at lambing time. Look at that one with the triplets.
Seems a shame to me.
Oh, please, Debbie, please don't start going on about them only being born to die. I know that. But it doesn't stop the life they do have being important and precious. Oh, that's a big one there. Single, I expect.
Oh, yes.
Can't be very old. You can hardly stand.
I don't think it's a shame, though. They have to be born in deepest, darkest January.
But it's lovely to have lambs on the farm when everything else is so dead. It's special.
Oh, for us, maybe, but not for them. They're programmed to be born outside in the spring, surely, in the fresh air, not cooped up in a dim, noisy barn.
I can't agree with you. Your father's not the only farmer who... I'm sorry, I meant Brian, not your father.
It's okay. I'm as confused as everyone else.
What time are you expecting him? Roger?
About 8:30. I ought to go and get changed.
What are you going to do this evening?
He suggested having an early curry and then going to the cinema. Mm,
sounds nice.
Yes. Actually, I'm glad we're going to go and see something rather than spend hours sitting around talking or trying to talk. It can be difficult sometimes to find things in common.
Making up all that time can't be easy.
It's a funny thing, but when I'm behind the bar with Clary or even Sid, we can talk and talk, no awkward pauses, just gossip and laughs, but... Well, with Roger, everything's so important, it's hard to know where to start. To be honest, I find him quite hard going.
Yet he always used to be such a talker. When we first met, we stayed up all night talking more than once. Talk, talk, talk. I thought we'd never stop.
Do you miss him?
No, of course not. I've got Brian.
Debbie, what on earth are you doing in here?
I wanted to see the lambs.
I've got chaps all over the farm looking for you. Your father's arrived.
Already? I'm not even changed yet.
Yes, he knows he's early, but he says he finished his business sooner than expected.
Well, I better go. See you later, Mum.
Have a nice time, darling.
Thanks. Bye, Dad.
Bye.
Did you see Roger yourself?
Yes, I was in the house when he arrived. I put him in the drawing room.
Brian, there's something I've got...
He was quite pleasant, actually. Asked me about the farm. I asked him about his books. We had quite a conversation for two men who've nothing but a wife and daughter in common.
Brian, you know the other day when
he's
I went...
He's a lucky man.
Roger, why?
Having a daughter like Debbie.
But she's your daughter too. You just said so yourself.
Yes, yes, of course she is.
Well, this is kind of you.
wasn't looking forward to walking home tonight. There's one thing I hate, it's drizzle.
Do you walk home every night?
Oh, no. Sometimes I have the van and sometimes Mike comes and collects me. Still, it's not far to walk, and I don't think the fresh air does me any harm after being cooped up indoors all day.
That's one thing that's not in short supply in my job, fresh air.
Oh, no, don't suppose it is. You're looking a bit fed up this evening, if you don't mind me saying so.
Am I?
Everything all right?
Oh, yeah.
Best not to bottle things up, you know. I speak from experience.
Oh, David.
Oh, he's not ill, is he?
No, he's not ill. Well, he's had a bit of a cold, oh. But...
What is it, then?
It can be hard sometimes being married to the boss.
Well, I suppose in the old days, people would say every woman was married to the boss. You know, the head of the household.
Well, I don't go along with that.
No, neither do I. You know, I was thinking the other day, and you're going to laugh, but I was watching this television programme about arranged marriages, and I found myself thinking, well, maybe they're not such a bad idea.
What?
Well, at least they know that the wedding ceremony is only the beginning. Because, I mean, when Mike and I were courting, when we knew we were serious about each other, I never once really thought about marriage. I mean, I wondered if he'd ask me, and I thought about the wedding, but I...
You never thought about the reality.
Well, that's right.
When I told me Mum David and I were engaged, she looked me straight in the eye and she said, "Remember this, love. Happy ever afters need work in that."
Well, she was right.
Yeah, she offered his.
Oh, so you and David have fallen out?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
It's something and nothing, really.
Do you mind if I give you a piece of advice?
Depends what it is.
Well, that's honest, anyway.
Go on.
Well, it's up to you whether you take any notice. With my track record, I don't know why I've got the cheek to dish out advice.
Go on.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you should always give in to your husband. Very much the opposite. Well, I think it's important to stand up for yourself. Otherwise, you won't respect yourself, and he certainly won't respect you. But...
Yeah, but...
Oh, this is my turning, by the way, coming upon the left.
Yeah, but...
But I think it's also important to keep an eye on tomorrow, not just today. I mean, it's all too easy to be proud and back yourself into a corner.
And then the only way of getting out is by getting your feet wet.
Yeah, wet and sticky.
Did you enjoy it?
It was a bit of a weepy.
I know how she felt, though. The girl who was widowed.
Yeah, well, of course you do. After losing Polly.
Actually, I was thinking about losing you.
Oh, you haven't lost me.
I very nearly did.
Come on. Oh, look. Is that Debbie?
Where?
Over there, getting into that car.
Ah, yes, I think it is.
With that good-looking man.
Ah, that's her father, Roger.
Oh, is it?
Don't really think he's good-looking, do you?
Oh, yes. Well, sort of. Oh, say, don't be stupid. There's only one man in Borsetshire I fancy, and he's holding my hand right now.
Cathy, there's something I've got to say.
Hello, you two.
Oh, hello, Ruth.
Hi.
David.
Hi. Been let out on parole, have you?
What?
From the pub.
Oh, very funny.
What do you think of the film? Oh, we enjoyed it. How about you? Oh, I thought it was a load of cobblers. But he wept his way through an entire packet of tissues.
Hey, come here, you. You can find my supper better.
We're going out for a Chinese meal. Do you fancy joining us?
Well, we ate earlier.
Okay. See you then. Yeah, bye.
Bye. Now, I want you to know I am going to have the most expensive thing on the menu.
And I want you to know I'm going to pay for it with a joint account credit card.
Well, they seem happy.
Yeah, they do.
Ruth hardly seems any older than my Lucy. And yet there she is. A settled married woman.
Oh, has Lucy phoned you today?
No.
The last thing I wanted was to come between you two.
It's the problem between Lucy and me. It's down to Lucy and me. It's nothing to do with you.
Yeah, well, that's not the way she sees it.
You know something, Cathy? For the first time in years, I don't really care what Lucy thinks. She's a grown woman. She's old enough to vote. She's old enough to get married. In my opinion, she's old enough to let me get on with my own life.
Oh, spoken like a man.
Hey, you don't laugh at me.
Oh, I'm not laughing. I love you too much to laugh at you. With you, perhaps, but not at you.
Cathy?
Yes?
Before David and Ruth came up just then, I was going to ask you something.
Well, you can't ask me to marry you because we're married already.
Oh, I'm trying to be serious. Please listen.
I'm sorry, love.
The thing is, since you've been back in my life,
I felt alive again. Each new morning I wanted to kick my legs in the air and shout for joy. I felt like a lad.
Caroline says I've been walking around with an idiot grin on my face all day.
Yeah, but every time we go back to Great Gables, I feel as though a bit of me is going back into cold storage until the next time we meet.
But we...
Please, let me finish, Kathy. Please?
Okay.
I know you want us to go on courting as if we weren't married, but the thing is, love, we are married. We are married and we do love each other, and I really, really want you to move back into the ball. Please, Kathy. Please, will you move back home? I wouldn't ask, only I love you so much. Please.
The Archers was written by Gillian Richmond and the agricultural story editor was Anthony Parkin. It was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Neil Fraser and the editor was Vanessa Whitburn. This is Radio 4, it's 11:15. And now, Newsstand with Anne Speckman.
Hello, if horses sweat and men perspire, what do members of the royal family do? In an unusual reversal of the normal roles, it's Prince Charles, rather than his wife, who stares out at us from the cover of this month's Tatler. And underneath a picture of the glowing future king is the even more unusual headline,
"Is Prince Charles too sexy for his own good?"
Answers on a postcard, please. You could be forgiven for thinking this was some ghastly mistake. They must have been meaning Diana. But no, judging by the covers on today's newsstands, we have a new set of heroes. Gone are the trim figures, the toned muscles, the bodies beautiful. In 1992, sex appeal is all in the mind. Georgina Kelly lets us into the secret.
The heir to the throne is the pin-up of the 40-something set. As time has thinned the hair, so too has it instilled in women a sudden realization that Charles is, well, sexy. Stand in a drawing room with women of a certain sort over the age of 40, and the mere mention of the future king's name will produce high-octane levels of excitement. They can't get enough of him.
Well, you could knock one down with a feather. Tatler has been out riding with the Prince Charles swoon pack to find out what exactly the royal pull is.
These women who trot around after him admiring the muscles, the boyish nape of the neck and that military bearing, know that you only have to see him on the polo field to realise that he has sex appeal.
Which brings us back to the horses. There always had to be a more convincing reason for Charles's insistence on playing polo, despite his doctor's advice. Tatler has it.
It is all about sweat. Royal sweat. If, as one admirer put it, Charles is at his most sensual on horseback, it is when he dismounts and starts peeling it all off that those watching realize a day at Smith's Lawn is worth the traffic jams. The horse world is very raunchy, says one commentator. It's because of the animal physicality of the horses and the intimacy of the relationship between riders and mounts.